Let's go to the word of the Lord today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I had several thoughts that I feel like were from the Lord, and they were all in different directions. So this one, I think, kind of came to me yesterday, and I felt like this is the one to go with for today. So maybe the Lord gave me a couple extra sermons for the next few weeks that I won't have to work so hard. We'll see how that turns out. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Paul said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And then he prayed their whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Today I want to preach to us about being completely whole. Completely whole. Turn to somebody next to you and say, God wants you to be completely whole. Let's pray that God would move today. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to receive what you have for us, Lord, that your will be done. Oh, God, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way in us, Lord. Have your way in us, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated today. Paul talks about there being three parts of us: spirit, soul, and body. Those three parts make up every person. We are complex beings. David said in Psalm 139 and 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The workmanship of God is absolutely marvelous, in that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's go beyond just the surface this morning, past what we see just in the natural. What is the difference between our spirit, our soul, and our body? The human spirit is the deepest part of us. It is in this innermost part that we connect with God in the spiritual realm. It's our spirit that is born again. Our soul can be described as our personality. It's who we are. It's our mind, our will. With our soul, we think, we reason, we consider, we remember, we wonder. We have emotions like happiness or love or sorrow and anger. We're able to make decisions and choices through our soul. Our body exists in this tangible, natural world. We relate to things around us through our body with our five natural physical senses. The body is the visible and external part of our being. Some say that our body contains our soul and the soul contains our spirit. Now, I don't know about all that. I haven't figured it all out. That was kind of deep to me, and I thought, well, it may make sense, but I'm not sure. I don't know. That's just, it's deep, deep stuff. If we were to draw a diagram with three circles, a small circle inside of a larger circle inside of a larger circle, the outer circle perhaps would represent our body, the middle circle, our soul, and then the innermost circle, our spirit. The body is the outer visible part. The soul is the inward part, and our spirit is the innermost part, the hidden part of us. God wants each of these parts to be sanctified and preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is God's will for us to be completely whole. Not in just one or two parts, but completely whole. All three parts, our entire being, to be sanctified wholly, completely, spirit, soul, and body. Maybe we've never really thought about these different parts of us. Perhaps we focused maybe on one or two of the three, and so that could be why something seems to be missing today. It's God's will that we be saved completely, through and through, that our whole spirit, our whole soul, our whole body be kept blameless until Jesus comes again. And so today we're going to link our faith together, and we're going to ask that God would do a complete work in us. Not just in our soul, not just in our mind, not just in our body, in the physical sense. We want all of that today to be completely whole, spirit, soul, and body. Now, there's something very important in our text. The Word of God is very specific at times, and I don't believe Paul wrote this by accident in the way that he did, but he was moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And he said specifically, spirit, soul, and body in that order. That is the order of how things should be in our life. Not the body first, soul second, and then lastly spirit, but the spirit first, then our soul, and then our body. Now that kind of contradicts how the world lives. Because most are very conscious of things in the natural. They realize the physical body. They're aware of those things, and then they're aware some of their soul, of their personality, their emotions, their will. But few ever consider their spiritual life, and that is what's most important. Amen. That is who we really are. We are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings first, with a soul that lives in a physical body. So we're spiritual first, and then comes the rest. When we neglect our spirit, we are neglecting the innermost place that God reserves for himself. Amen. Somebody once said it like this: there is a God-sized hole in every man's heart that only he can fill. If we neglect the spiritual side of things, then we are empty in our innermost being. If that's where we're at today, I believe that God wants to make us whole. Don't shy away from the spiritual, but let God fill you with his spirit. Let God fill you to overflowing so you can be whole from the inside out. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm not a spiritual person. No, we're all spiritual beings. Not just the pastor, not just other ministers. We are all spiritual beings. It's just some people are more aware of their spiritual side of things, and others have not tapped into that part of their being. But we should all be conscious of God, even more than we're conscious than the things in our body and in the physical realm. That's the order God meant for us: spirit, soul, and body. So how can we be whole in our spirit today? First of all, we've got to be born again. We've got to be born again to be baptized in the name of Jesus and to be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, the breath of God is truly what brings our spirit alive. Before we were born again, we were just dead in sin. But now we're a new creature in Jesus Christ. If you've not been born again today of the water and of the Spirit, you are missing the most important part that God created in you. Your spirit is dead to sin. Amen. I don't want to go another day today without you having the power of God in your life. You need to repent of your sins today. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of the speaking in other tongues, like the Bible says, so that your spirit can come alive. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 tells us, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, in the natural, we can't even receive the things of the Spirit of God. We consider those things foolish. That's why some people come to church and they sit back and they discount and they disregard the things of God. And they think, you know, these people are crazy to worship like this. And you know, they think it's foolish to put God first in our life and to live a holy, separated life. And they don't value the preaching of God's word. That's because their spirit is dead in sin. They can't even receive the things of the Spirit of God. They don't discern spiritual things because they're in their flesh. That's why it's hard to explain things to somebody who does not have the Holy Ghost. Because they read the Bible and they see it one way, but they miss the drawing of the Spirit of God. They're looking at things with human understanding. And if we want to truly be alive, if we want to truly grasp the things of God, then we have to have the Spirit of God to fill our spirit so that he gives us understanding and he opens our heart to the things of the supernatural to make us a new creature. I want to see the things that are beyond the natural realm. Amen. I want to see the things that are beyond just our human understanding. God, I pray that you would open it unto us. I pray that you would show us. I pray that you would help us to yearn and to hunger after the things of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. Your spirit is saying, I want more. I want to receive everything God has. Now, for our spirit to be whole, we need spiritual food, all right? We can starve our spirit just like we can starve our body. If it's been a few days since we've prayed, our spirit is starving. If we've not spent time in the presence of God, we're missing out on spiritual nourishment. If we haven't opened our Bible to read God's word, then we are relying on the natural to give us strength, but our spirit is weak. Fasting starves our flesh, but it gives strength to the spiritual man. Oh, that the spirit would come alive today, so that we be led by God and not led by our flesh. There is a realm of the spirit that God has designed for us, but it doesn't happen by accident. We don't get there without feeling after the things of the Spirit and feeding the things of the Spirit. But if we'll hunger after it, if we'll seek after it, we will find it. Praise the Lord. Just like our body needs exercise, so does our spirit. How do we exercise our spirit, Pastor? What do we do to keep our spirit in shape? Faith exercises our spirit. Faith doesn't make sense in the natural. And if we're always making our decisions based on what we see and understand in the natural, then we will miss the supernatural in our lives. But when we exercise faith, when we step out in faith, when we give in faith, when we pray in faith, it exercises our spirit. And when we exercise our spirit, we're strengthened and we grow spiritually. Come on, somebody, today, your spirit is begging to be exercised, to be strengthened, to be put to work. Come on, somebody, stretch your faith today. Somebody, work your faith today. Amen. Somebody, put your faith into action. It is exercising our spirit. Oh, there's a difference between churches that are truly moved of the Spirit of God and churches that are just religion. There's a dimension of faith There's people who get comfortable and self-satisfied, but they don't ever break into that dimension of faith. But God sometimes allows a storm to come. He sometimes allows a trial to come so that our faith has to be stirred. We have to say, I don't understand this in the natural, but I know God's doing something in the spiritual, and I've got to get there through faith. I've got to exercise my faith to go to another level. Oh, we want this church to be a great place of faith, a place of signs and wonders and miracles, but we don't get there unless we learn how to exercise things in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That means we've got to spend time on our knees in prayer. That means we've got to spend time seeking after the things of God. That means we're going to have to push away some of the things of the world, because I can't get to where I need in the Spirit if I'm too burdened down by the things of the flesh. Hallelujah. Well, you heard about that man that got a bunch of helium balloons, tied them all together, got his lawn chair, attached it. I think he got a radio or a TV or something, and rigged it all up, got him a BB gun, and he thought, once I get high enough, I'll start shooting those balloons, and then I'll slowly come back. Well, his plan didn't work. I don't know how far he went, but it was a bad deal. Don't try that, okay? You can go take these hot air balloon tours, and generally they're a lot safer, okay? So try that if you want to. But here's the thing. When you decide you're going to go high, you have to account for how much weight you've got. When you fly in a small airplane, in a big airplane, they say, you know, your bag has to be, what, 50 pounds or 40 pounds or something, depending on the airline. When you fly in a small airplane, you've got to take more consideration into how much weight you have. Well, if you're going to go high in the Spirit, you can't be so burdened down with the things of the flesh and the things of the world, because we can't get off the ground. That's why we've got to shed some things of the flesh. It may not even be sin. It may not be even something that would send us to hell, but it's something that is holding us back. Well, Pastor, I don't see it directly in the Word of God, but is it something that's keeping you from the spiritual heights that God has called you to? Well, Pastor, it's just a good movie. It's good this or that. But is it something that's holding your spirit back? Come on, we've got to stop living just in the physical world. And we've got to realize there's more beyond the physical. There's more beyond the natural. I want to see miracles and signs and wonders. I've got to get into the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I want to challenge you to a life of daily prayer. Every day spending time in prayer. Every day reading God's word. Every week fasting. Every week taking one day and say, you know what, I'm going to fast for 24 hours. It could be from breakfast to breakfast the next day, or from dinner to dinner, whatever, you know, works for you and your schedule and how just, you know. But every week, I believe we need to spend one day in fasting. And then I want our church to take one day, and I'm thinking to do it the last Thursday of the month, and we're going to all try to fast together on one day, okay? So I want to challenge you, fast whatever day of the week you can do it, but try to fast one day a week, and then the last Thursday of the month, our church, we're going to fast together. And if you've never fasted a day before, you don't eat for 24 hours. Drink water, stay hydrated and all that. But most people can fast for a day. Now, if you have medical situations and all that, you got to be careful. But most of us can fast for 24 hours. And there's something about saying, I'm pushing away from the things of the natural world so that I can get into the spiritual. Amen. Giving operates our faith. There's some people have never got into the dimension of the spiritual because they've never learned how to trust God in their finances. What are you saying, Pastor? We're talking about something in the physical. No, giving is not just in the physical. Giving is something that's spiritual. Giving is something where we say, you know what? I trust God more than I trust my own ability. More than I trust my paycheck, I trust that the Lord is going to supply my needs. Hallelujah. Some of you are wondering why your spiritual walk with God seems to be at a standstill. It could be because you haven't started to give the tithe back to the Lord, and you haven't started to go beyond that in offerings. I want to challenge you today. Learn to operate your faith. Learn to operate your faith. Giving exercises our faith. God wants somebody to be whole in your spirit today. Secondly, the soul. How can we be whole in our soul? The soul is our personality. It's our emotions, our will. Have you ever heard the saying, the battlefield of the mind? Well, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. But you see, our soul is where the enemy will attack us. The mind is part of the soul. The seed of sin is in the mind. The fruit of sin, when we sin, the fruit of that sin comes out in our flesh. But the battle takes place in our mind, which is part of our soul. Our soul includes our emotions. I don't know if you've noticed, but our emotions are powerful things. They affect our whole day, our whole week sometimes. Sometimes we have to learn to push past our emotions to get through the day. But if there's something there that is not resolved, it will continue coming up. If there's anger that keeps coming up, if there's hatred that keeps coming up, if there's some unresolved conflict or emotion that is there and it keeps coming up, don't just keep trying to push it down. You need to say, okay, what's the deal here? I've got to be made whole, not only in my spirit, man, but I got to be made whole in my soul. Sometimes we don't know the root of it. We don't even understand where it's coming from. It could be something from childhood. It could be unresolved conflict. We may even be picking up on the emotions of someone else. I saw something recently about the frequencies that we all give off, and it just kind of blew my mind. But you can walk in the room, you can be in a great mood, and everything's going your way, but somebody else is in the room that they're not having such a great day. And they're giving off this frequency that when you come in contact with that frequency, all of a sudden you're not in a good mood. All right? So sometimes we may be picking up on someone else's emotions. But God wants our soul to be whole, our mind, our emotions, our personality. One of the best ways that we can be whole in our soul is to know who we are in Jesus Christ. When I know that Jesus Christ died for my sins to set me free and give me eternal life, it takes a lot of battles away in my emotions. If we've been neglected or even abused by people in this life, that affects us in our emotions. That affects our personality. But when we know that Jesus loves us unconditionally, it helps make us whole. If we've ever been forsaken by friends or even family, but we understand that Jesus Christ is a friend that stays closer than a brother, oh, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that brings healing to our soul. When we're struggling with anger or sorrow or hatred, but we come to know Jesus, we experience his love, unconditional love. 1 John 4:8 tells us, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The health of our relationship with God is directly related to the health of our soul. Because the more we know God, the more his love works in us and through us, the more we become like him, the more he works on the rough edges in our personality, the more he gives us his mind. If your mind is troubled today, if your mind has just got memories of your past and all of the hurt and brokenness, you need the mind of Christ. You pray, God, give me your mind. Give me your mind. Take my mind and replace it with your mind. Give me your thoughts. Give me your emotions. I want my soul to be made whole. Amen. And so God wants us to have healing in our soul today. We don't need to miss this. We think of physical healing usually first and then maybe even spiritual healing, but we need healing in our soul. And then there's healing for our body, physical healing. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 5 tells us, or 53 and 5 tells us, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Luke 9 and 1 says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We are called to do that today. Amen. Look at the person next to you and say, you are called to do that today. A lot of times we think, well, I got to get to church so I can have pastor pray for me. I've got to get to prayer meeting so I can have everybody pray for me. You have the power and authority to see healing. How long has it been since we've experienced a supernatural healing? Whether it was in our body or in praying for someone else, this is a promise for the church. It's a promise for us who are believers. I challenge you to operate in faith. If somebody you know talks to you about a physical need in their body, don't tell them, well, I'll be praying for you. I mean, that's good, but go the extra mile. Say, hey, let's pray right now. And you take them by the hand and you start to pray with the authority that God has given you. Oh, but what if God doesn't heal them? The healing's up to God. It's our job to pray. It's our job to pray. Hallelujah. What if we're the one needing healing? God has given us power to see healing, and that includes ourselves. You pray the prayer of faith. You speak life. You speak healing. You command the sickness to go in Jesus' name. You speak to that disease, and you tell it to leave. You command it to be healed. You speak a new knee. You speak a new kidney. You speak a new heart. Say, I speak a new heart. Let there be a new heart right now from heaven in Jesus' name. Whatever it might be, you speak the word of faith. You tell it to happen and all of a sudden you may speak it in the natural, but there's a connection that makes it to the spiritual. And God says, there's somebody who's operating in faith. They've got a need in the natural, but all of a sudden they reached up and they grabbed hold of something in the spirit, and now I'm going to perform it in the natural. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, we made a trip to Texas, and while we were there, we preached at my pastor's church. There was a man who has gone to church there for years, and we were talking with him. He was telling us how he was having trouble with his kidneys. Now for several years, he almost died, and he was needing a kidney transplant. It was after service, and people were just kind of gathered around talking, and so I said, well, let's pray. Let's pray. And there were several of us gathered around, and we began to pray, and I went behind him, and I said, I'm going to speak to your kidneys. And I put my hands over his kidneys, and I began to speak life to those kidneys. And I said it loud enough that they could hear it, okay? Now, you may think I'm crazy, but I was speaking life. I was commanding life to those kidneys that had not been functioning correctly. And so we prayed for, you know, a minute or two and then went our way. Well, a week and a half later, he sent me a text. He said, I really appreciate you praying for me a few days ago. My numbers in dialysis have been changing significantly, to the point where they're lowering his hours of treatment. Hallelujah. He said, the staff wanted to know if I was doing something different. So I shared with them that a preacher prayed for me, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah. God wants us to be whole in our body. It's not His will that we be sick. He came to set us free. By His stripes we are healed. Somebody needs to take hold of this promise. Take hold of this calling of God. I can pray and see healing. Now, we can underestimate the importance of taking care of our body. There's sometimes we can be all out of sorts. And you know what? We're not even fighting devils. We think we're having a mental breakdown. We just need a good night's sleep. Have you ever been there? Oh, it's the end of the world. I don't know. You go to sleep in the morning like, well, it wasn't so bad as I thought. Have you ever thought that everybody hated you, that things were all falling apart, everybody was treating you bad, and then you just realized, you were hangry. You just needed to eat something. We've got to take care of the body that God's given us. Exercise keeps us moving. The days that I exercise, I don't think about it the rest of the day. I'm good. I feel good. My body's working. The days I don't exercise, it's like, man, stuff feels a little sore, and I don't feel as loose as I do when I exercise. Sweat helps remove toxins. If we sit behind a computer all day, we've got to find some ways to exercise our physical body. Spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, I preached about the Old Testament tabernacle and how it relates to these three. The tabernacle had three parts: the outer courtyard, then the actual structure of the tabernacle, which included the holy place and the holy of holies. The outer courtyard represents our flesh, the physical. The holy place represents our soul. And then the holy of holies, our spirit. The holy of holies is where the Spirit of God dwells. If we've not been born of God again, if we are not full of the Spirit, then that part of us is lacking. And it throws everything else off. When we pray, we have to move through these three areas to get into God's presence. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We enter into His courts with praise. We come to the altar where we repent of our sins. Amen. We've got to deal with sin. We've got to deal with sin in our life. This is our body. And then we go to the mind. We go into the holy place, dealing with our mind and our emotions, our will. But don't stop there, because we've got to get into the holy of holies, where our spirit becomes one with God's spirit and He fills us to overflowing. I believe that today there could be people here that you have not been completely whole in your body, your soul, or your spirit for a long time, because it's been so long since you allowed yourself time to move through these areas in prayer. You pick up a few minutes of prayer before church. You call on God when you have a need. You pray with somebody at the altar. But you haven't allowed yourself time alone to move through that tabernacle experience to get to the Holy of Holies. We've got to pray regularly in the Spirit. We've got to pray regularly in the Spirit. We're not going to be completely whole if we never pray in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What is this talking about? Praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues in prayer. Too many religious people today think that speaking in tongues was just a sign for them on the day of Pentecost. They don't realize that the promise was unto them and to their children and to all of us who are afar off. They don't think speaking in tongues is for today. And beyond that, they're missing the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 1:20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? There's times you go into prayer, you pray everything you know how to pray in English, but then all of a sudden the Spirit starts moving and you start speaking in tongues and you're praying in the Spirit. You don't even know exactly what you're saying, but you feel the burden of it and you feel the presence of God, and you know that you're in the vein of the Spirit and you flow in that and you let God minister and work. Hallelujah. I've heard people say in churches, well, you know, I only really pray through in the Holy Ghost maybe once a year. That is not the will of God. They're not completely whole because they're not praying in the Holy Ghost. It ought to be a daily occurrence for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be completely whole. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If we will let him, he will be faithful to do it. No matter what part of us needs to be whole today, God will do it. He's able. Now, we don't need to go through life with parts of us missing. Spiritual leprosy. You know what leprosy is? It's a disease, and the feeling, the nerves are damaged and the feeling goes away, and so parts of their body would be rubbed off and would be missing, and it's a horrible thing. Remember the 10 lepers? Luke chapter 17, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. There's a difference in being cleansed and being made whole. Hallelujah. And here's what we need to get today. God's forgiven us of our sin. He's brought us out of the world. He's filled us with his Spirit. We've been baptized in his name. We're living for God. We're serving somewhere in the church. We've been cleansed. We've been called out. God has delivered us. God has blessed us. But there's too many people that haven't been made whole. There's too many people that they're still missing something somewhere in their body or their soul and their spirit. They've been set free from sin, but they need to be made whole. I believe that God wants to do it today. I believe God wants to do it right now in this place. But we've got to reach out and we've got to say, Lord, I believe you can do it. I believe you are faithful to do it, and I receive it today. Praise the Lord. I wonder if you'd stand with me in closing today. I want to tell you a story. There was someone in the church. It was a lady in the church that we pastored in Texas before we came here. And she truly had, she had all kinds of things that were happening in her family and her health, and just there was all kinds of stuff going on. And she was desperate one day, and so she called for us to come over to the house. And we went by, and Sister McCoy and I, we walk in there, and then I believe the kids let us in, and then went back to their room. And she's there in the room. It's dark. She can't get out of bed. She's got her Bible over her head, which, hey, if you're ever desperate, try it. And I want to tell you what, the Word of God, you can open it, put it over your heart. It's amazing. But like, she was just, it was bad. And so we began to talk to her and we prayed with her, and she came out of that. But here's what I told her. I said, we've got to deal with what's physical, with physical means. You need to get a good night's sleep. You need to eat. You need to get some exercise. Burn some of that stress off. Then we're going to deal with the soul, the mind, the emotions. We've got to deal with that. And then there's a spiritual side of this too. We're going to deal with that spiritually. You can't deal with spiritual issues by going to the doctor and getting medicine. Sometimes, though, we're looking at the spiritual and we're neglecting the body and the soul. And we're saying, well, it's just devils and all of this. And sometimes it is, but sometimes we just need to go eat. We've got to deal with the physical. We've got to deal with what's the soul, the emotional. We've got to deal with the spiritual. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now go back here. Is there any among you afflicted? I feel like that's spiritual. Let him pray. Is any merry? I feel like that's emotional. Let him sing psalms. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. I feel like that's the body, the physical. Got to deal with each in a separate way. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now I know I've taken just a little time trying to build this case here today, but now I hope that you get it, and I hope you receive it, and I hope you can stand on this, on the Word of God in faith today. That whatever the need is in your body, I believe God is able to make you whole. Praise the Lord. Can we close our eyes and just lift our hands towards heaven and say, Lord, I want to be whole. I want you to make me whole. I want you to reach down inside of me. God, I pray that you would make my body whole, my soul whole, my spirit whole today. Lord, I don't want to leave here with part of me missing. I don't want to leave here, Lord, with lacking something that you have for me. But God, I pray that you'd make me whole. I pray you'd make me complete. I pray that you would fill the hole in my heart. I pray, God, that you would minister right now to every need in this house. God, you're able. There's nothing too hard for you to do. You are able, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. If you need physical healing today, I want you to come and gather right here. If you need physical healing, if you know that you're here and you need emotional healing, I want you to come on this side. Okay? You don't have to tell everybody all of your problems, but if you know you need physical healing, emotional healing, if you need spiritual healing, I want you to just gather across the front, all behind them. And we're going to pray the prayer of faith today. And we believe that God is going to work and God's going to minister. It's not me. I can't do it. You can't do it. But God is the one that does the work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you know that you're whole today in your body and your soul and your spirit, then I want you to come and gather around these and find somebody to pray with. We're going to pray the prayer of faith today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. These at physical healing on this side. Physical healing, come a little closer if you need physical healing, and then spiritual healing behind them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Does anybody have faith that God honors his word? All right. We're going to pray the prayer of faith today. Hallelujah. The rest of you, if you can gather in and pray for some of these here today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.